Today's text is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Continuing from last week, we will look at verses 5 and 6 again. Apostle Paul instructs the Colossians to act wisely towards those outside the faith and to seize every opportunity. This is a message for all believers to utilize every chance to share the gospel and to testify about Jesus to non-believers around us. Considering the approaching return of Jesus and the final judgment, we are urged to make use of every opportunity to spread the gospel and proclaim its mystery to those who do not believe. This message emphasizes our calling as witnesses of Jesus. Salvation depends solely on God. He will not lose any of His chosen people, but will seek and save them all. No one belonging to God will be left unsaved because we didn't evangelize. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will go to the ends of the earth to find and save all His chosen people and bring them into heaven whether we have evangelized or not. Although God is the one doing the work, He is pleased to have us participate in it. We are called to be like Jesus, and He rejoices in carrying out the will of the Father God together with us. There is one thing we must remember. God does not simply call us servants or make us work for Him. He wants His sons to have His heart, the heart of Jesus, and to care for the lost children of God and our lost brothers and sisters. He wants us not only to enjoy the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the blessings of heaven, but also to witness to outsiders, that is, unbelievers. Among them, there are those chosen by God that He wants to save. He wants to spread the gospel of heaven through our lives and our lips. That is why He commands us in the following verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. God tells us to always speak with grace. In verse 5, He tells us to conduct ourselves with wisdom. But in verse 6, He tells us to speak with grace. Both wisdom and grace point to Jesus and the gospel of His cross. He tells us to bear witness to the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the blessings of heaven, not only through our lives, but also through our words. Words and actions cannot be separated. He tells us to testify to our faith in Jesus and the gospel of heaven with our entire lives, through our words and actions. If we look at verse 5, we see that the command to act with wisdom is tied to the command to make the most of every opportunity. This means that the way in which believers approach and live out each moment of their lives on earth is connected to their wise living. Let's delve into this a little more. In this world, people often say that time passes very quickly, so we should spend it meaningfully and advise not to squander it. This is considered a wise way of life by many. So how exactly should believers act with wisdom when it comes to time? Is it different from the way non-believers approach it? Believers are those who live each day with true wisdom. On the other hand, unbelievers without heavenly wisdom utilize worldly understanding and worldly principles. What's the difference? Let's first examine the following three verses. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Matthew chapter 16, verses 26 and 27. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Think carefully about what these words mean. The saints who have wisdom understand these words correctly and live their lives making the most of every opportunity. In other words, the saints who have wisdom know that this earthly life is not everything. What is the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. Then who is the most foolish person? One who lives as if he will neither grow old nor die. So he lives his life pursuing only the world right in front of him. He says he will make the most of every opportunity and enjoy everything he wants, or he lives each day in vain without any meaning or purpose. This is how the people of this world were when Noah built the ark. However, the less foolish are those who live their lives thinking they will grow old and die. They make the most of every opportunity and live a meaningful life without regrets. This may be a little better, but essentially, they are no different in that they chase after the vain glory of this world. So who are the wise? Those that live knowing that this life is not the end, but that eternal life awaits them. They know that there is salvation and judgment from God. They are those who live knowing that there is heaven and hell. Therefore, they do not live as if this life is the end or as if this world is everything, but they live preparing for and testifying to the eternal life that will come after. They acknowledge their sinfulness, repent, believe in Jesus, hold on to His grace alone, and live looking toward heaven. They do not set their hearts on worldly things that fade away and end in death, but live with their hearts set on heaven that will never change. They live fearing and worshiping God, the Judge and the King of heaven. They love and serve Jesus and live fulfilling His will. They live this way, making the most of every opportunity. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." A wise person has a correct relationship with God, belongs to the kingdom of God, and lives in reverence and fear of God. Therefore, a wise person repents, believes in Jesus, and lives a life belonging to God's kingdom. There is a parable of the wise men in Matthew. The wise man builds his house on the rock, while the foolish man builds his house on the sand. They may look similar on the outside, since they both build houses, but they are completely different. The rock symbolizes Jesus and the heaven that Jesus has accomplished. Therefore, the wise man who builds his house on this rock will never be shaken or collapsed, even when the world's storms and God's judgment arrive. The sand represents this world and its flesh. The foolish man builds his house on the sand, will be shaken, and eventually collapse when the world's storms and God's judgment come, because he does not have the right relationship with God. Also, Matthew 13 teaches that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and the wise man sells everything he has to buy that field. In other words, he sets his heart on heaven, not on this world, and lives a life of heaven on earth. In Matthew 25, there is a parable of the servants. The wise servant is someone who waits for the master's prompt return and faithfully serves the master's house. On the other hand, the foolish servant lives as if this master will not return and does not serve the master's house. When the master comes, he is kicked out as a wicked and useless servant. In other words, the wise person looks forward to the second coming of Jesus and the glory of heaven. Until that day, he takes good care of the Lord's house, which is the church and his brothers. When we think about all of this, a life lived with wisdom is a life lived with faith. It refers to a life where we live with our hearts set on Jesus and heaven as revealed in the gospel. Ultimately, a wise life is one that understands why Jesus came. Dear saints, why did Jesus come to this earth? Did he come to simply improve the world? Or did he come to help his people just live better lives in this world? No, Jesus came to judge the world. He came to save his people from the impending judgment of the world. Jesus came to save us from sin, death, and judgment, and to bring us to heaven. He sacrificed his own life to give us the eternal blessing of heaven. It is crucial for us to understand this truth. If you claim to believe in Jesus, but only focus on this world and believe in him solely for worldly gain, you are foolish. When Jesus healed the sick and provided bread, many people followed him, rejoicing that their king had arrived. However, when Jesus declared that he came to offer himself and heaven and then went to the cross, they all abandoned him. Their faith was like a house built on sand. What was the essence of the message that Jesus preached from the beginning of his public ministry? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." From the beginning, Jesus preached repentance and coming of heaven. He finally blessed us with salvation by dying on the cross. A wise person understands this. Therefore, wisdom lies not in merely believing in Jesus, but in believing in Jesus on the cross. It is not about believing and advocating the worldly version of Jesus. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this. He tells that the gospel is not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God, which the world cannot comprehend with its wisdom. Paul says that the wisdom of the world cannot comprehend Jesus on the cross, but only the wisdom of God can. He emphasizes that Jesus on the cross can only be known through the faith given by God through the Bible. Therefore, he only preaches Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 21 through 25. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The wisdom of God is revealed in Jesus on the cross and in the gospel of the cross. The gospel is not just about Jesus granting worldly blessings. It is about Jesus' death, resurrection, and salvation from sin and judgment leading us to heaven. Understanding, believing, enjoying, and sharing this gospel is true wisdom. However, the Jews desire visible signs, and the Greeks seek worldly wisdom, looking for worldly glory and wisdom, which does not align with heavenly salvation. They serve Jesus as the Lord and Christ of this world, which is not the true gospel. Regardless of how much they talk about Jesus, this is not genuine wisdom. This illustrates the distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. Simply, this world does not desire the wisdom of God. The kind of person who lives with true wisdom and makes the most of every opportunity is someone who has found grace and salvation in heaven through Jesus' obedience until his death. While living on this earth, they focus on heaven, set their heart on heaven, and live as someone who will enter heaven. They bear witness to the reality of heaven and spread the gospel of heaven. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The saints who died with Jesus and resurrected with him are seeking the heaven where they belong. They set their hearts on heaven, live in hope of reaching its glory, and await the day Jesus returns. They make the most of every opportunity while on earth, using each chance to testify to Jesus and their faith in heaven. Their lives reflect the life they will live in heaven. They live differently from the foolish sinners of the world who live without wisdom and believe that this world is all there is, always confirming their lives as children of God and heirs of the Father's kingdom. They receive forgiveness of sins and righteousness through Jesus Christ. They worship God with joy, eagerly anticipating heaven and living according to God's pleasing will. Their lives serve as a testimony to the reality of the country they belong to. The people of this world lack this wisdom because they cannot see Jesus and heaven, as they do not have faith. They only have the wisdom of the world. However, those with worldly wisdom see us as foolish. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. For those who desire worldly things, the wisdom of the gospel, Jesus on the cross, and the heaven are seen as stumbling blocks and foolishness. That's why they reject true wisdom and boast of their worldly wisdom until their downfall. Dear saints, consider this. If a person has all the wisdom of the world and gains the whole world, if they lose their life due to their sins and end up in hell, how foolish is that? If a person lives their life opposing God, denying Jesus, and doesn't realize that they will eventually face physical death and eternal judgment from God, what kind of life is more foolish than that? Even if we lack worldly wisdom and are considered foolish by the world, we possess the most precious thing, the wisdom of God. We know and believe in Jesus on the cross and have hope in heaven. That alone is more than enough for us to be thankful. Therefore, we cannot live like the foolish people of this world. We cannot live like those who belong to this world, building a house that will collapse. We must live in this world, but as those who do not belong to this world. We must live as those who make the most of every opportunity, as those who belong to heaven, as those who will enter heaven, as those who possess the life of Jesus, and as those who wait for the day Jesus comes again. No matter what kind of worldly reality we live in, no matter what kind of hardships and trials we face, we must live as strangers who testify that this is not our eternal home, but that our home is only in heaven. Even if the world mocks and despises us for being foolish, we must endure to the end with faith in heavenly glory. Furthermore, living a wise life in this world is living the life of Jesus. The gospel of the cross contains God's great love and the amazing grace of Jesus. Tasting, knowing, enjoying, and testifying about it is a life of wisdom. James chapter 3 verses 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. The life of wisdom that we must demonstrate to others is to reflect the heart, love, and character of Jesus in all our relationships and interactions. If someone claims to have wisdom from gospel, but behaves with bitterness, jealousy, arguments, prejudices, lies, and selfishness, it may not be the wisdom from heaven, but from the devil. The wisdom of the gospel that comes from heaven leads to and demonstrates holiness, peace, tolerance, obedience, compassion, and good deeds that reflect Jesus. Living wisely means resembling the love character of Jesus revealed on the cross. That's why the book of James tells us to examine ourselves to see if we have this wisdom and to seek it. We must look to the one who entered heaven after living true wisdom on this earth. Who is he? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus belongs to heaven, and he looked forward to reaching the glory of heaven. He only sought after heaven, thought of heaven, set his heart on heaven, made the most of every opportunity to spread the gospel of heaven, and live the life of a perfect Son of God on this earth. He said that there was no place for the Son of Man to lay his head on this earth, and he lived as a stranger on earth until the end. He lived in obedience to God's will until his death. He endured the suffering of death on the cross and finally reached the glory of heaven. But how did the world react to the wise life of Jesus? To the world, Jesus' life of wisdom was a stumbling block and considered foolish. The sinners of this world hated Jesus and persecuted and even killed him. Why did they do that? Because Jesus lived with true wisdom and showed that he did not belong to this world, and he revealed the foolishness of the world. What about us? When we live with the wisdom of Jesus, when we live proving that we do not belong to this world, but to heaven, the world will hate us as it hated Jesus. John chapter 15 verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus clearly said that if we live with wisdom and faith in heaven like him, the world will hate and persecute us. If we claim to believe in Jesus but still seek visible signs, pursue worldly wisdom, and live for worldly glory, the world will not hate or persecute us. However, if we believe in Jesus and live according to God's word and reveal the foolishness of the world, we will face hatred and persecution. Even those with false faith will hate and persecute us. Therefore, when we testify about Jesus and our faith in heaven, the hatred and persecution are evidence that we possess true wisdom and that we belong not to this world but to heaven. This is a way to participate in the suffering that Jesus endured. So when we face this persecution, we should be thankful and joyful. But among those sinners of this world, there will be those chosen by God who will wonder and ask about our hope, joy, and what we believe. Like the Pharisee Nicodemus who secretly came to Jesus at night and asked, there will be those who want to know about the wisdom we possess. There will be those who want to know about Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. There are those to whom the Holy Spirit opens their ears to hear. At that time, we too, like Jesus, will be asked to be prepared to answer in gracious manner. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. When we always keep the wisdom of gospel in our hearts and live with faith in Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, we are told to be prepared to answer whenever someone asks us about what we believe. There is no need to be complicated in our answer. There is no need to argue. There is no need to condemn or judge. There is no need to teach difficult theology. There is no need to boast about new knowledge that only we know. Just tell them about the source of our joy and hope. Tell them about the love of the Lord who gave His life to save us, the grace of forgiveness of sins and righteousness that we receive from the Lord, and the kingdom of heaven we belong to. And tell them that our Lord will come again soon. Tell them that we are hopeless sinners without the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, simply telling them about Jesus on the cross is enough. Dear saints, always remember that you are incredibly precious to God, more valuable than the entire world. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, who is more precious than Himself, for you. He has prepared the kingdom of heaven for you as your eternal inheritance with Jesus Christ. The Creator of all things has given us the most precious, eternal, and perfect gift, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the kingdom of heaven. Let us build a strong foundation of faith upon this knowledge. We shouldn't live like foolish sinners, relying solely on worldly wisdom and being servants of the world, easily swayed by worldly matters. We shouldn't build our lives on temporary things that will soon collapse. Neither the hardships of the world, nor poverty, illness, nor even death should enslave us. We, like Jesus, are children of God who belong to heaven. We are just temporary residents on earth, with an eternal home with our Father and the Lord waiting for us. Live with this wisdom. With this wisdom, run the race of faith joyfully, enduring any hardships as exemplified by Jesus. If you lack this wisdom, or if you desire more of it, ask for it. Our gracious Father God has promised to give it to you generously. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 5. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Seek not wisdom of the world, but seek the wisdom of heaven. Seek the wisdom to understand the love of Christ on the cross. God our Father will gladly give it to you. Live with this wisdom and make the most of every opportunity. When you live and conduct with the wisdom that God has given you, He will let others know about the grace of Jesus and the hope of heaven we possess. If anyone asks, gladly tell them about your Lord and your eternal home, heaven.